sports, entertainment, and Maine's best guest list. Live from Seasons Restaurant on Main Street in Bangor. On The Pulse, AM 620 WZON, WZONThePulse.com, and the WZON app. This is Downtown with Rich Kimble.
Hey, welcome in. It's hour two of Downtown here on a Wednesday afternoon. Rich Kimble, Ryan Wanning, Seasons, Main Street, Bangor, and our Quality Jewelry Studios. Coming up in this hour, Bruce Pratt with Sports Lit 101. Bob Cutler from the Family Dog stopping by, I'm told, with food, which is going to make our day. But we're also going to make your day as we start things off by talking Red Sox playoff baseball. The series with the Indians gets underway tomorrow. Tune in right here on WZON and hear our next guest. He is the radio voice, along with Joe Castiglione of the Boston Red Sox, Tim Nevern. Tim, thanks so much for being with us this afternoon.
Well, thanks for having me. It's been a while since I've been to Bangor, by the way. I think I was there in 1983 playing high school football against the Bangor Rams. And I remember getting beat up pretty badly.
Yeah, that was a pretty good Bangor Ram team back in the early 80s there. Wow.
They were good. I remember we slept in the gym. As I came up from Nashua, New Hampshire. We were the first opponent of the season, I think, and we knew we were in a different world because our buses rolled around the city limits and there were signs saying, Nashua, go home. And I figured, well, we're not in Kansas anymore. So we get up there and the football team followed through and we suffered the loss.
Well, not much has changed here since then. It's still Red Sox country and fired up about getting back to the playoffs after a three-year wait. And people will talk about Dave Dombrowski and the moves, but I think they're missing the obvious. Your first year here doing Red Sox games, and boom, there they are back in the playoffs.
Well, somebody mentioned that to me the other day. A sports writer had mentioned that. He asked if it was a coincidence that the last 3 years with the Pirates, they were in the postseason. The year I leave, they don't make it. And my first year with the Red Sox, they do. So if that's what people want to believe, I'm all for it. But it is nice, though, that, you know, it's one of those things. This year is a little different because the last 3 years, you know, I was involved in the wild card situation, and this year not, which is really relief in a way. But this has been a very good team to follow, an excellent team to follow as far as the offense is concerned, the pitching. I mean, they've got it all. And now it's a matter of putting it together at the right time, and they hope that right time begins tomorrow night against the Indians.
Well, it's been an interesting season, certainly some highs and lows along the way, but a team that played its best baseball in the month of September. Tim, from your perspective, what was the turning point for this team that kicked them off into that great finish, and particularly the 11-game winning streak?
Well, I think it was the walk-off home run by Hanley Ramirez off of Dellin Betances of the Yankees with two outs and two strikes. I mean, the Yankees at that time were literally one strike away from being three games out in the divisional race with plenty of time left. And Hanley hits the ball into the center field seats. Red Sox win that game. They go on to sweep. That sparked an 11-game winning streak. And that 11-game winning streak was very impressive because it was four against the Yankees, four against Baltimore, three against the Tampa Bay Rays, are all divisional opponents. And the way that they won a lot of those games were impressive, too. They had good pitching. They had solid offense, as they've had all year. And it seemed like guys out of the bullpen had put it together after Kimbrel came off the disabled list and after Coach Uehara had come off the disabled list. It seemed like things were moving in the right direction. A couple of speed bumps here in the last week of the season, but you know, you hope that's not a big deal considering the body of work they put together in September.
Well, and of course going on the road, but the way they played on their last three road trips, you have to feel pretty comfortable about their ability to win away from Fenway.
Yeah, and I think what was more impressive is the fact that they could have won more games and should have won more games when they were out west against Oakland and San Diego. They had a couple of games just get away. And they should have swept both of those series, to be honest. And that was tough. But I do believe that this team won a big game on that road trip, a couple of road trips ago, on the Sunday in Toronto, when things turned around for them there, too. So September was a great month for them, and now they're hoping October is.
Tim, do you think with the Cleveland Indians, one of their team strengths being their team speed, do you think Sandy Leon is up for the challenge behind the plate, or is this a situation where having Christian Vasquez at the end of the bench could prove to end up being a smart chess move somewhere along the line?
Well, the reason they want to have Vasquez is because he's got a better throwing arm. Sandy's the number one catcher, but it comes down to the pitcher to hold the runner. When you look at David Price, for example, I believe in the last three and a half years, there's only been two stolen bases against him. So that's impressive. The Indians are going to try to run. That's a huge part of their game plan. They will run. They lead the American League in stolen bases for a reason, and they get runners to second base, and they get them in. The Red Sox led the American League and Major League, rather, in runs scored. They scored more than 100 runs more than the Indians, though, without stealing nearly as many bases. But they do need to have the extra weapon, I think, in Vasquez in terms of the controlling the running game. And that's not just throwing down to second. It's throwing behind a left-handed hitter down to first, keeping a guy close. For a lot of reasons, I think having Christian Vasquez on this roster was the best move. Ryan Hannigan is a veteran catcher, but he just has not hit. Brian Holliday just doesn't have the familiarity, I don't think, with the staff as a whole, and he doesn't have the arm that Vasquez does. And you know, he can hit a little bit, but I just think Vasquez is the best option there. Leon, if he gets back to what he was doing, at least partly during the season, I think offensively he'll be a help. But it comes down to the pitchers holding the runners as much as anything else. The catcher's there to try to throw him up, but the pitcher has to give him a chance to do it.
We're talking with Red Sox radio broadcaster Tim Neverett here on Downtown. So speaking of pitching, Tim, how do you size up the matchups with the Indians in these first two games out of Progressive Field?
Well, I think they'll be okay. I mean, I think the Indians wish they were different in that, you know, they had Salazar and Carrasco, but they're not going to have either one of those two guys. Trevor Bauer has put together some great outings. And the one thing about the playoffs, and it's been my experience to see this firsthand in the past, and there's no reason to think it would change, is that sometimes one guy can have a great day. And that's all it takes. You know, a guy that you might not expect, or a guy that maybe you do expect to have a good day has a great day. But in the postseason, everything gets magnified. Trevor Bauer, he's allowed to have a good day. But so is Rick Porcello, and you expect Porcello to have a good outing when he goes out there. This is money time for these guys. David Price has had terrible luck in the postseason. His only postseason win happens to be against the Red Sox his rookie year when he was brought up from the minor leagues and pitched out of the bullpen. Got a win in relief. Other than that, he's got zeros, and he wants to turn that around. Clay Buchholz, been there, done that. He'll pitch game three. I like the fact that they're going with the experienced hand in the third game against Tillman. And I think the Red Sox are going with their strengths on the road for the first two games. That way there, they can come home games three, game four if necessary. Game five would be back in Cleveland, and then you'd be back to Porcello again. But I do like the pitching matchup. I think both pitching matchups with Kluber just barely coming off a quad injury that kept him out, pitching against Price Friday afternoon, and then tomorrow night with Porcello against Trevor Bauer. I do think the pitching matchups favor the Red Sox.
Tim, who's been the biggest and most pleasant surprise to you in this Red Sox team?
Well, a guy we haven't seen in a while, although I saw him on the plane last night and I was glad to see him, that's Stephen Wright. He's been a huge surprise. Things are going better for Stephen. He's rejoined the team. He might be available for the ALCS. He will not be for the Division Series. But I think he's been a great surprise. Mookie Betts, I knew Mookie Betts was a good player. I didn't think he was this good of a player. He has done things that very few players in the history of the game have done. We should not lose sight of what Mookie Betts, who's 24 years old, has done with 100 RBIs plus, 30 home runs plus, 25 stolen bases, 40 doubles, over 200 hits. Not many people in the history of the game have put together a season like that. He is worthy of an MVP award, and I think if he doesn't get it, it's a darn shame. But Mookie Betts has been a real pleasant surprise. Also, I look at Xander Bogaerts, and you know, I know you're going to get offense out of Xander, but I had seen him play before, but I didn't realize how good a defensive player he really is. He is outstanding, whether it's coming in on a ball, going to his right, going to his right with a backhand, or going to his left and throwing on the run, going back out into the outfield and catching the blooper. This guy covers a ton of ground. He's a superior athlete, and he's been a real pleasant surprise in terms of how he has done defensively.
Well, Tim, as a New England guy, it had to be great to come back home here to get this Red Sox job, and such a rich tradition of great broadcasters from Kurt Gowdy to Ken Coleman, Ned Martin, Jim Woods, and your partner, Joe Castiglione. Who were the guys that you listened to as a youngster in New Hampshire that made you think, boy, that's something I'd like to do when I grow up?
Well, you just named the whole list. those guys, and one of the other guys that I really admired a lot, the old voice of the Celtics, Johnny Most. I really liked listening to Johnny. Johnny brought a lot of color to the game. I used to listen to the Celtics games on radio religiously for a long period of time when I was young, and the Red Sox too. And so those are really the guys that I liked a lot. And I've done a lot of television too, so I like, you know, when Ned Martin went over to TV, I thought that was pretty neat. But, you know, getting back into radio primarily, at least for the baseball season, it's been an absolute thrill. I mean, you know, Joe would kill me for telling you this, but you know, I was a junior in high school when he started doing the Red Sox. You know, and I'm 50 now, so it's great to be sitting next to him and learning, you know, even more about the craft from Joe and hearing all the stories. And he's just been wonderful in helping me in my transition.
Well, and it's great to have a guy on the radio who knows who we're talking about if we mention McFilthy and McNasty.
Yeah, that's right. The old Pistons, yeah. In fact, I ran into McFilthy one night in our hotel bar in Chicago. I saw Bill Laimbeer when I was with the Pirates. We were playing the Cubs. He was in our hotel lounge for some reason, and that's all I could think of was McFilthy.
Well, Tim, we've enjoyed your work so much this season. We thank you so much for making time for us here as you get set to broadcast the playoffs starting tomorrow night. Hope it's a deep run, and we look forward to talking with you again down the road.
Well, thanks, and I'm hopeful I'll be up to your event in December as well. I'm trying to put that all together at this point in time, but it's been a long time since I've been to Bangor, so I'd love to go back.
And when you come back, Tim, all of those Nashua go home signs will be gone.
Well, good, thank you, because I didn't want to tear them down myself.
No, we'll take care of that for you. Hey, thanks very much, Tim. We appreciate it.
All right, no problem, anytime.